Morning. Thank you very much for joining us this morning. We're very lucky to learn today the 57th page here in Masechet Pesachim, the final daf in this perek Makom Shenagu. And we were in the middle of discussing different practices, different customs, some customs the sages approve of, other customs the sages don't approve of. And the current topic that we're in the middle of discussing is the issue of separating peah from a vegetable patch. Peah, as we know, is one of matnos aniyim, the gifts that we're supposed to leave for the poor. When someone is lucky enough to have land in Eretz Yisrael, so if he has a wheat field or any other type of field, barley field or other things like that, corn. So there are all sorts of gifts he's supposed to leave for the poor. If when harvesting something falls, he's supposed to leave it for the poor. That's called leket. The poor are going to come and pick it up, the gleanings. If he made a bundle and he forgot the bundle, or a pile and he forgot the pile, he should leave that also for the poor. That's called shikha. And then there is peah. Peah is to leave a corner of the field, not even to cut it down, and let the poor come and let them cut it down and let them keep it. How much is peah? Mishnah says, the Masechta Peah, 1/60. So what about vegetables? If you have a vegetable patch, do you leave peah for the poor from the vegetable patch? So we saw that yesterday that you do not leave peah from the vegetable patches for the poor. Why is that? Because when the Torah really talks about peah, it mentions dagan, grain, tirosh, wine, and yitzhar, olive oil. And the common denominator to all these three is that they are nichnas l'kiyum. These are things that you can store for a while. But when you have a leafy vegetable like lettuce or cucumber or even a tomato, you can't put it into lengthy storage. This is before refrigeration and electricity and a freeze box. You only had whatever you could store in a silo. So grain can sit for months. Olive oil can sit for months. Wine can sit for months. But you can't really store leafy vegetables. So that's why leafy vegetables are not really like dagan, tirosh, and yitzhar. And there is no obligation of separating peah from leafy vegetables. So if there's no obligation, is there any problem in doing it? So the Gemara teaches that there is a problem in doing it. There is a problem in separating peah from leafy vegetables. And what that problem is that we know the Levim are entitled to ma'aser. They're entitled to 10% of what you grow, of your produce. But things that the Torah says, the reason why you have to give ma'aser is ki ein lo chelek v'nachala imach, because he doesn't have a portion with you, he doesn't have a share with you. The Levi doesn't have a share of Eretz Yisrael, they were not given territory. So because the Levim don't have a share, that's why you have to give from your property 10% to the Levi. But he does have a share in peah. He does have a share in fruits of Shemitah, because peah is ownerless. Anyone can come take peah. Levi, Yisrael, Kohen, anyone can take peah. As long as they're poor, they can take peah. So since he does have a share in peah there is an exemption of separating maaser. So now if you have a bunch of vegetables, you declare them to be peah, but really there's no obligation of peah on vegetables. So you wrongly declared it to be peah. You think you have to make it peah, but really that doesn't have to be peah. So really it's not peah, but you're thinking that it is peah. So if you think it is peah, you're not going to separate from it trumos and masros. But really it's not peah, because there is no obligation of peah from vegetables. And therefore it's obligated in trumos and masros. And for that reason, that's where you have a problem. You have people eating things which should have chumas and maisos separated from them, and they didn't separate chumas and maisos from them. And then there's Leviim who lose out. Leviim who should be getting Trumas and Maisos are not getting from this. So that's why it's a problematic thing. It's a mistake. Really, you separate Peah from grain, from grapes, from olives, from things that last. But to take a bunch of vegetables and declare these vegetables are Peah, it's an ignorant mistake. And it's a mistake that ends up costing us. Now we're going to have Leviim missing out on getting their maaser. Now we're going to have people eating this produce without for separating maaser, when it's supposed to be separating maaser. So it's a problem. So now the Gemara tells us a story about this issue.
He could sell them and give cash, 10% of the cash, the proceeds as any
other. Oh, no, I don't think it works that way.
Is that the word
right now? No. The ability to transfer into cash is only in maaser sheni. 10% that you're supposed to take to Yerushalayim and eat it within the walls in a state of purity, that if there's too much produce to bring, that you can transfer into cash. But when you're supposed to give to the Leviim Maaser Rishon, you have to give it to the Leviim. It's true, though, that technically once you gave it to a Levi, he could give it to Yisrael. Yisrael can eat it. It's not like Truma, which can't be eaten. You know, nowadays, we don't really give Maaser Rishon to the Leviim. Because the Chazon Ish, he said that if we'd start giving Maaser Rishon to Leviim, we would discover a lot of Leviim. So since we're not really confident that anybody's a Levi, we don't give Maaser Rishon to Leviim. We just, symbolically, we say we separate it, we give the Trumas Maaser to the Kohanim. I mean, we can't give it to the Kohanim because it's Tameh, but we separate the Maaser Rishon, we don't really give it to the Leviim because we're not sure anybody's a Levi nowadays. All right, going back to the story. Tanu Rabbanan, who's going to brace up? Ben Bohayan. So the son of Bohayan. His name was Bohayan, the father. So Nasan Pe'el Yerek. So the son of Bohayan took the vegetable garden that he had and he cordoned off a corner. And he didn't cut that corner down. He didn't harvest that corner. He put up a sign. This is Peah. The poor can come and take. So then his father, Bohayan, came. He sees lots of poor people coming out of his vegetable field carrying bundles of vegetables because they took from the Peah. They took from the corner. And they were standing at the entrance of the garden, about to leave. Amar lahen. So Bohayan said to these poor people, Banai, my children, hashlichu me'aleichem. Throw these packages off of yourselves. Don't carry these things. Leave them here. Leave them here. Va'ani nosin lachem kiflayim. You have two packages, I'll give you four. You have three packages, I'll give you six. I'll give you double the amount. But what I'll give you will be b'me'usar. What I'll give you will be from vegetables that I already separated the meiser from them. And I'll give you chulin, which are metukan, which are already fixed. And he explained, lo mipnei she'ein yitzara. Not that my eye is stingy. Not that I'm somebody who doesn't want you to have what you got and take away from you. That's not why I'm telling you to put it down. But it's because the sages have said, Ein nosnin peya liyerek, that we don't separate from vegetables peya. We don't make out of a vegetable garden a corner as peya. As Rashi explains, as if you would make a part of the vegetable garden Peah, you are uprooting any maaser from it. That's it, because it says about maaser of Levi kein lo chelek v'nachala imach. The Levi is to come because he doesn't have a share with you. Mi she'ein lo chelek v'nachala imach chayav la'aser. Somebody, so that ma she'ein lo, right? That part that doesn't have, he has no share in, you have to give maaser from. But Yatza Peah, but Peah is different. Sheyesh lo nachla imach. He has a share of it. To hefker ninu, because Peah is ownerless. Leviim also can take. Vechein b'shvias. The same is true about the fruit of shmita. To hefker patami meiser. Because if since it's ownerless and a Levi has a share, it's exempt from meiser. The tziv, as it says, v'achlev yoni amachav yisrim tochel chayas asada. My chayel chelos upturim, and my Torah says about Shemitah that the leftovers are going to be eaten after the poor by the wild animals. The wild animals don't have to separate Meister. Afev yon upturim and Meister. So to the poor people who take from Shemitah fruit, they don't have to separate the Meister. So he said, listen, the reason why I'm telling you to put down the vegetables is not that I want to deprive you of anything. But these vegetables, there's a mistake in them. You think these are vegetables of Peyon, they're exempt from Meister. Really, it's not true. They're obligated in Meister. And I don't want you to walk away thinking that vegetables normally should have Peya separated from them. So you put it down. I'll give you proper vegetables that had Meister taken from them, and you can eat those. Says the Gemara, La male lemeimer luhu lo mipnei. Why does he have to tell them, don't think that I'm being stingy. Not that I'm stingy, not that ain't tzara, but I just want to save you from making mistakes in halacha, thinking that vegetables have peya. They don't have peya. Why does he have to say that? Clearly he's not stingy. He's clearly not stingy. He's offering them double. That's not stingy. He's saying, if you have two bundles, I'll give you four bundles. If you have three, I'll give you six. That's not stingy. He's clearly very generous. What does he have to say? Don't think I'm being stingy here. Answers the Gemara, the reason of that story was, he had to explain to them, it's not that I'm being stingy, it's just that I want to teach you the laws of Peya. That they shouldn't think he's just trying to pull a fast one on him. If he says to them, listen, I'll give you double, put this down, let me give you something else which is double. They'll say, you know, he's not going to give us double. He's telling us to put it down, then he's going to give us nothing. They're not going to trust him. Why would a person tell them, put something down and give me double? But now he explains, so listen, my issue is not that I'm upset that you have from me. I'm happy that you have from me. I'm happy to give you even more. I just don't want you to make a mistake about Peya. So that's why I'm asking you to please put it down. Let me give you something else. Now, once they understand his reasoning, now they'll listen, they'll put it down, and he can give them something else. All right, so now another story, and this is dealing with a new topic. This is talking about the skins of korbanos. Yeah, Izzy, a question. What's the question, Izzy?
I'm saying, if he first picked up a maaser ready to eat, and then he did get the iron recording from the record, what's wrong he's doing?
What's wrong is that he's worried that in another field, when they have vegetables, they will think that they have to leave Peah. So he doesn't want anybody to think that in vegetables you leave Peah, you leave a corner.
Thank you.
Okay, Tanur Rabbanan, another Braisa, another story. Barishona Hayumanichin Oros Kachim Belishkas Beis Haparva. Initially, they used to leave the skins of a Karban Ola or a Karban Chatas, skins that are given to the Kohanim, they would leave them in the room called Beis HaParva. That was a room where they used to salt skins. And then, in the evening, they would divide it amongst the members of the Kohanim, of the Beis Av. The Beis Av was the group of the day. So you had a mishmar for the week. The mishmar was divided up into multiple batei av. Each day had a different Beis Av working that day. So they were divided up amongst the members of the Beis Av. What happened was Vahayu Bali Zroos, the very strong members, the guys with the big arms, the big forceps, the weightlifters, the guys with the big muscles, were notlin osan bizroa. They used to grab more than their share by force. So when the sages saw that, so itkina, they made a new tzakana. She machalkin osam erev Shabbos l'erev Shabbos. They would only divide them up on Fridays. And what's the advantage of a Friday? The Asya Kula Mishmara. So then you have not just the base Av, not just the group of that day, but you have the group of the whole week. You have the entire Mishmar. And once you have the entire Mishmar there, they're not going to allow those guys who are pushy and stronger and bullies to grab more than their share. Yashakli ba'adadi. And then they would take and divide up equally. So even after they made this change to divide up the skins on Fridays, so even though you had all the Kohanim of the Mishmar there, nevertheless, the more prominent Kohanim, as the Meiri explains, people didn't want to disagree with the prominent Kohanim, they didn't want to fight with them. The more prominent Kohanim would actually take more than their rightful share. So then, Amdu Balim. So then the owners of all of these skins, namely Rashi explains all the Kohanim. Kol Kohanim Mishmaros Yachad. All the Kohanim of all the Mishmaros got together. V'ikdishum Lashamayim. And they said, that's it. All the skins of the Karbanos, they are dedicated to Beit HaKavayis, and they belong to the Beit HaMikdash, and none of us are going to get any of them. Now they made a law not to take it.
Who made the law? The Kohanim themselves?
Yes, the Kohanim made this, themselves made the law.
You have to take one skin of one animal, chop it up in 10 different pieces to do them?
No, now they didn't take... People used to take the skins, it became a leather, it was valuable. But now they made a law that they're not going to take anything. The question is that the commentators ask here is how could they make it all kadosh? After all, how do you make consecrated something that you don't yet own? So, different answers that are given here. So, one answer that's given is that they appointed one Kohen to be the representative of everybody, and he would, you know, consecrate it all as it all was became available. And others say that they made a neder. They made a neder, that they made a vow that once the skins will be taken off of the animals, they will make them hektish. Because of the vow, they then had to make them kadosh. But bottom line is they made a takana, that because they were people getting more than their rightful share, no one would get anything. They would just give it over to the Beit HaMikdash to be used for the repair, you know, to be sold by the Beit HaMikdash, and then to repair the building of the Beit HaMikdash, to further beautify the Beit HaMikdash. So what happened was, they said, Lo hayu yamim mu'atim, it wasn't long. Ad shechibu et ha'echal kulo b'tavlo shel zav, shein amal amak uvi dinar zav. They had so many skins that they were then selling, they had so much money, that with this money they were able to buy so much gold, they were able to overlay the entire heichal with these gold plates that were an amma by an amma, foot and a half by a foot and a half, that's in length, and ku'uvi dinarzav, and they were dinar zav thick. There's so much gold. Ularegel, And when they would get to a Yom Tov, Hoyimakaplin Osan, they would peel them off. Umanichan Osan al Gabi Mala Baharabayas, and they would put them on one of the steps in the Temple Mount, Kadeshu Oli Regolim Roim, so that all the pilgrims coming up to Yerushalayim should see Shemalachtam Na'ef, that their work is so beautiful, Vein Badelem, and there's no deficiency in them. Because these were plates that were in the Heichal. Only Kohanim can go into the Heichal. That's where you have the Shulchan, the Menorah, the Lechem, you have the Mizbeach Hazav. So they wanted to show people, look at how good Jews are. You bring so many Karbanos. Look at what happens with these Karbanos. It becomes money for the Beit HaMikdash. And look at how beautiful the gold that your donations accomplishes. And what a beautiful Beit HaMikdash you are making. Okay, Tanur, we learned in a Braisa. Abba Shol Omer, Abba Shol related. Koro Shel Shikma. There were these tree trunks of sycamore. Hayu Biricho in Jericho. Hayu Bali's Roos Notlin Osan Bizroa. And there were these ruffians, these thugs, who used to come and forcefully take them. Amdu Balin, so the owners who were losing branches and trees from these thieves, Hikdishim L'Shamayim, they said, that's it, it's Hekdesh, it belongs to the Temple Trust. So that's an interesting, sociological statement. There were people who did not respect other people's property. They would steal from other people. So they didn't have Yirat Shamayim in terms of monetary behavior. But yet, once they were told that it's Hekdesh, it belongs to the temple, and if you take it and use it, it's Me'ilah, then already they would pull away. So they did have some degree of fear of God, but it wasn't a consistent fear of God. So again, Amdu Balam, the owners stood up, V'Yikdishum HaShemayim, they made it holy. Aleihem V'Al Kiyotzei Behem. About people like this, these thugs, and people like them, Amar Abba Shol ben Batnis Mishum Abba Yosef ben Chanin. Abba Shol ben Batnis said, in the name of Abba Yosef ben Chanin, Oili mi beis Baisos. Woe to me from the household of Baisos. Rashi explains, Baisos was a Kohen Gadol. And his members of his household, they were slaves who took advantage of the great privilege that they worked for the Kohen Gadol, and they would abuse people. They would beat people up. They would steal from people. So he used to say, woe to me from the household of Baisos, Oili me'olasan, woe to me from their sticks. Oili me'beis Chanin. Chanin was also a Kohen Gadol. Woe to me from the household of Chanin. Oili me'lechishasan, woe to me from their talking, because these people used to give a lot of, figure out ways to hurt people. And they were Baalei Rachil. They would go spread Lashon Hara, negative speech about people. And then he would say, Oili mi beis Katros, woe to me from the household of Katros. He was also a Kohen Gadol. Oili mi Kulmusan, woe to me from their pens. They used to write all sorts of terrible things about people. Oili mi beis Yishmael ben Piyachi, woe to me from the household of Yishmael ben Piyachi. Oili me egrofan, woe to me from their fists. Shehem Kohanim Gedolim. All these people were Kohanim Gedolim. Ubneyem Gizbarim. And their children were the secretaries of the Temple Trust. And their sons-in-law were officers working for the Beis HaMikdash. And their slaves used to beat people up with sticks. They would abuse their power. Okay, Tanur Rabbanan. This is again during Bayis Sheni, during the times of the second Beis Hamikdash, when unfortunately the Jewish people were not so religious. And as we know, the kings weren't righteous, the Kohen Gedolim were not righteous, there was a lot of abuse that was taking place. Tanur Rabbanan Udin Abraisa, talking about Kohen Gedolim, who didn't act the way they should. Arba Tzvachos Tzvacha Azara. There were four screams that the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash screamed out. Now, the courtyard can't scream, it's a building, but it means that there was a voice from heaven, a baskol, a heavenly voice screaming these screams in the courtyard of the Beit HaMikdash. Rishona, the first, was Tzu Mikan B'nei Eli. Go out of here, sons of Eli, Shetimu Eichel Hashem, who have made the palace of Hashem Tameh. Maharsha explains that the Gemara tells us that the Psukim in Shmuel describe the sons of Eli, Hafni and Pinchas as corrupting the Mishkan and in fact violating married women who would come up to Shiloh with their offerings. Gemara says it doesn't mean that they actually would lay with the women, Asher Yishkivunas Anashim Atzavos Pesach Erech Oel Moed. Rather, what it means is that when the women would come with their offerings after they gave birth, and the offerings had to be brought so that they would become tahor, they would delay. They'd say, you know, we'll do it tomorrow. They didn't do it right away. So they were abusing their power, and because of that, the women were delayed from coming home. And that's considered as if they violated the married women. So that was the first baskol screaming out in God's sanctuary about the abuse of the Kohanim of Hafni and Pinchas. Second time was Va'od Tzvacha, another time when there was the scream of the Azara. And that's already now in this period that we're talking about now, the Second Temple, when the cry was Tzei Mikan Yisachar Ish Kfar Barkai. Go out of here, Yisachar, the man of the Barkai village. So he was also a Kohen Gadol. And his crime is Shemachavidus Atzmo, is honoring himself, and in that way, Machalo Kadshe Kadashim, desecrating that which is holy. How so? To have a Karich Yada B'Shiroi. He used to wear gloves in the Beit HaMikdash. In the Beit HaMikdash, it's very dirty, the work. You have to slaughter animals, catch blood, there's guts going on all over the place. So he didn't want his hands to get dirty. So he put silk gloves on. So basically he's saying, I want to honor my body instead of doing the divine service the right way. Doing the service the right way without wearing gloves. So he was honoring himself at the expense of honoring Hashem. That's a chil Hashem. Machalo kadshei shamayim machabedes atzma. And only then, Avod Avodah, then he would do the work. Okay, so these were the two screams. The screams about Hafni and Pinchas, and the screams about Yisachar Ish Kfar Bar Kai. Now there were another two screams, Va'od Tzvacha Azara. Sometimes the Azara would call out in a positive way. And that was, U'shar Mashaychem Yikanes Yishmael Ben Paki, Talmido Shel Pinchas, lift up the gates, and come Yishmael ben Piachi, the Kohen Gadol. He was a tzaddik, even though the people of his household were pretty terrible. He was Talmido Shel Pinchas. He was like the student of Pinchas ben Elazar. He was like Pinchas. V'yishamish b'kuna gedula, let him come to the service of the Kohen Gadol. Another time, there was a baskol heard, and that was where the Azara was declaring, Usharim Rasheichem, lift up your gates, Yikanes Yochanan ben Nerboi, and let Yochanan ben Nerboi enter. Talmido Shel Pankai, he was the student of Pankai, Yimali Kresim Akache Shemayim, and let him fill his stomach with the meat of Karbanos. Amr Olav al Yochanan ben Arbai. It said about Yochanan ben Arbai, Shaya Ochel, when he would eat with his household, Shalosh Meos Agalim, 300 calves. Vishota Shalosh Meos Garbi Mai Yayin, and drink 300 barrels of wine. Wow, 300 calves and 300 barrels of wine. And Va'ochel Arbayim son, eat 40 sashal gozlos of young chicks, the kinuach suda, as the dessert. So Amr, they said, Kal Yom Shayoch ben Arbayi, all these days of Yochanan ben Arbayi, who used to eat so much, Va'nimtza noser ba'mikdash, there was never any meat of a karban left over that hadn't been eaten on time, because he would consume everything. All right, going back to one of these wicked Kohanim Gedolim, we said Yisachar Ishkvar Barkai cared more about his own honor than the honor of Hashem. My Salka baby Yisachar Ishkvar Barkai. What happened in the end to Yisachar Ishkvar Barkai?
So his consumption was
no, the opposite. It was considered a big mitzvah. Because he's eating all the meat of the carbon. He's not letting anything go to... Yeah, not letting anything sit for too long. So my Salka baby Yisachar Ishkvar Barkai. What happened ultimately to Yisachar Ishkvar Barkai? I mean, they answered, Malko, Malkasa, Havuyasi. The king and the queen were once sitting. Rashi says that these were kings of Beis Chashmonai. Malka Amra, the king was saying, Gad Yayai, the goat meat is the best meat. Malkasa Amri, the queen was saying, Imra Yayai, the lamb meat, the sheep meat is the best meat. Amru, they said, Man Mocha, who can prove to us the truth? Kohen Gadol. The Kamata Karbanos Kol Yoma, because he's the one who's bringing Karbanos, so he knows which meat is better, goats or sheep. So Asa Iyu, Yisachar Ishkvar Barkai, the Kohen Gadol, came before them. They asked him, the king and the queen, from the Chashmonai king and queens, they said, what's better, sheep or goat? So Achvi Biyadeh, so he made it into a joke. He turned with his hand. He motioned with his hand and he said, Igad Yayai, if you think the goat is better, Yisak Litzmita, you should bring it as the Karban Tamid. We know that since we bring the Karban Tamid first, the Karban Tamid is a sheep, it's not a goat. But clearly the sheep meat is better than goat meat. Amar Malka, so the king said, since he doesn't have any respect for the king, right? Number one, the king was the one who said that Malka Margajayoy, the king claimed goats were better. And he said, he laughed at him. He said, if goats would be better, that should be what the Karban Tamid is. Right? And he waved with his hand in a dismissive motion. So the king says he has no regard for the king. So we're going to cut off his right hand. So Yoav Shochad, he gave a bribe to the executioner to cut off the left hand. Paskila Smale, so they agreed they cut off the left hand. Shama Malka, the king heard that he had arranged for his left hand to be cut and not his right. So what did the king do? Paskila Yamine, he then cut off his right hand too. Amr Rav Yosef said, Bruch Rachmana, blessed is God. That he punished him, this man, Yisachar Ishkvar Barkai, in this world, blessed is God. He got punished in this world, and in the next world, he won't have to have any punishment. Amr Rav Ashi, Yisachar Ishkvar Barkai, lo tana mas nisim. Yisachar Ishkvar Barkai had not learned Mishnayos. And had he learned Mishnayos, he would have known how to get out of this difficult situation that the king and queen put him into. It's not because if he learned the Mishnayos, he would have known the Mishnah in Krisus. The Mishnah says, Rabbi Shimon Omer, Kvasim Kodman Le'izim, B'chol Makom. Rabbi Shimon says, the Torah always talks about sheep before goats. Yachom Yipnei, Shem Uvcharim B'minan. Maybe the sheep are better than the goats. That's the pasuk says. In regards to the karban chatas, it says, "Vehevi karbano Seiras Izim, he'll bring his karban, a goat, one of the goats. And then it says, Im keves yavi karbano. Or if he brings a sheep. So that tells us Shishneim Shkul and Kechel, they're both equally good. So you know the Mishnayos, the goats and sheep are equal. When he's being put in this impossible situation, the king is saying, am I right? Am I right? The queen is saying, am I right? He would have said, you're both right. He would have gone out. He would have said, yeah, goats and sheep are equally good. But he didn't know the Mishnayos, and that's why he ended up getting into trouble. Ravina Marvina said, not only did he not know Mishnayos, afilo mikronami lokar, he didn't even know Psukim. Had he known Psukim, he would have known that they're equal. Because the Pasuk says in regards to the Shlamim, Im keves hu makriv, and then it says, Im eiz karbano, if he's bringing a sheep, or if a goat is his karban. So the Torah is clearly saying they're both equal. So Iboy keves, what it's saying is, if he wants to bring a sheep, Lice, he can bring that. Iboy eiz, Lice, if he wants to bring a goat, he can bring that. So the fact that they are equal is clear, and he ignored these psukim, or he never learned, and that's why he ended up getting into trouble. Most of all, getting into trouble because he would wear the silk gloves. Wearing the silk gloves was disrespectful. The Bach, based on this Gemara, says that when davening, people shouldn't wear gloves because davening takes the place of karbanos, the avoda, and the Beis Hamikdash. They wouldn't wear gloves. So Shlomo Zalman Orbach paskind, that can't mean, you know, gloves because of discomfort. That's, you know, if somebody wears these, like, they wear sometimes gloves as a fashion statement. So a fashion statement, a woman who wears, you know, fancy gloves shouldn't come into the shul wearing gloves as a fashion statement because of this Gemara. But if you're wearing gloves because it's cold, and you just don't want your hands to get cold, Shlomo Zalman Orbach felt that's not a statement that you're preferring yourself over God, and it's permissible to wear gloves while davening if you're wearing it because of the cold. Okay, Ad Kan Daf Nun Zayin.